Well, we're in for a real treat today. I know that many of you have had the opportunity to speak with Lester and Peggy Seiler over the years. Over the past couple of months. I've been able to speak with them for many years. Our families go back that my parents, Earl and Joy Weaver, actually went to Bible college with Lester and Peggy many years ago before I was even thought of. But over the years, our church up in Pennsylvania kept in touch and supported their ministry, and we've had them in our home over the years, and we've just been pleasured to be able to stay in contact with them and watch their ministry flourish. Many times they were witnessing both to the people of new believers within over in Africa, but they were also ministered to the missionaries. And it was wonderful that they were a location for the missionaries to be refurbished and to be renewed from their time on the mission field. So anyway, we're glad that we have them now here. They are now Manatee County residents, and we are glad that they call this their hometown now, and we're just so thankful and happy for that. But I guess without further ado, it is my privilege to welcome Lester and Peggy Seiler. Good morning.
Dressed in formal Zimbabwe dress this morning. And these are the Zimbo colors. Someone asked, are you going to sing in that strange language this morning? No, but that'll come some other time. But I will greet you in Shona. Dino kukwazi sai muzita rajesi Kristo. Okay?
That means.
There you go. All right. So this morning I'm talking about unmet expectations. And what is an unmet expectation? It's simply that when you thought something was going to happen, and it didn't happen the way that you thought it was going to happen. Now, this can be either positively or negatively. So we'll talk about the positive one first, okay? So you kind of expected the worst, and then you were really, really glad that it did not happen the way that you expected it to happen. So I call this a positive unmet expectation. For instance, okay, we can all go back to our childhood, right? And remember when you were small and young and, oh no, man, you blew it. You thought, I'm really, really, really going to get in trouble. So, but it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen. Right? There's that little guy broke the window. Oh no, man. I'm going to get a hiding. All right, that's a Zimbabwe way of saying you're going to get a spanking, okay? My allowance is going to be taken away, and I'm going to be grounded forever. And, you know, I think, like, my dad's favorite one was give me a spanking and then go to bed without supper, okay? So, but instead, hey, I couldn't believe it. All he did was scolded me and said, please be more careful. Wow. Positive, unmet expectation. Now, you all know the other one. Okay. Driving down the road and that familiar siren and the flashing lights. Oh, no, man. You look at your speedo, you're going 10 to 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. I'm going to get a ticket. You pull over and the cop walks up to the door. And he says, "You were speeding, sir." Say, "Yes, I was speeding." "Okay, and where are you going in such a hurry?" "So, well, actually, I'm running a little bit late, and I'm preaching this morning at Home Fellowship, and sorry, I'm guilty." He said, "Well, okay, you need to slow down, but carry on, and may God bless your preaching this morning." Wow.
Yeah.
Okay? A positive, unmet expectation. Now, this next picture, does that kind of surprise you? Well, this happens where we've been living for the last 40 years. And in Zimbabwe, and there are those that, unfortunately, they have not lived through the ordeal. Just over a year ago, it was after dark, and I was driving home, and as I came around a corner, I saw a line of car lights lined up on the right side. Of course, we drive on the left side of the road over in Zimbabwe. So, man, and I didn't realize that they had all stopped until my headlights illuminated this huge elephant in my lane. I slammed on brakes, laid rubber, and the Ellie, that's short for elephant, okay, the Ellie charged straight at my pickup truck. And I remember the thought went through my mind, this is it. And as he reached my truck, he turned on a dime and went off into the bush. Now, that was a very positive, unmet expectation. And as I drove home, still shaking, but praising God for guardian angels. Okay. So, but there are now the negative expectations. When we expect something good to happen and it doesn't happen. Now, this is a negative unmet expectation. Now, again, we've all experienced positive ones, right? And we can handle them quite easily. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay? But the negative ones, we struggle with those. And we've all experienced them. And like we were all excited about something positive was going to happen. And for some reason or other, it just didn't happen the way that we expected it to. And again, we reflect back to our childhood. Right? You were expecting something special for your birthday, and you didn't get it. You were expecting something special, some special Christmas present. You even sat on Santa's lap and told him what you wanted. And he said, yeah, yeah, all right. Didn't happen. Okay? A negative unmet expectation. Or your first basketball game, and your dad promised he was going to be there. He didn't rock up. Or you were expecting that promotion. You were next in line for that job. And they put someone else in who was underqualified instead of you. Unfair. Unfair. Life's like that. We face negative, unmet expectations all the time. Life is not fair. Now, this is the problem is that we can go on and on and on with illustrations, but as we go through life and we face these negative, unmet expectations, if we don't guard our hearts, we can become very, very cynical, and we can become very, very untrusting. So we need to guard our hearts. I like to play with words, and I've often asked myself, as I go through these situations, is it a sin to be cynical? You can answer that for yourself. Okay. Now, This is a sad story that I heard, but it was of a father who set up a ladder, told his 10-year-old son, "Go ahead, climb up that ladder about 8 feet, okay?" And now the father's standing at the bottom of the ladder, and his arms are outstretched, and he says, "Son, jump, I'll catch you." And as the child jumps with a smile on his face, the father steps back, and the boy goes crashing to the ground. Now, he's hurt in more ways than just physically because of the negative, unmet expectation, especially when the father said, "Now, son, let this be a lesson to you. Never trust anybody." Yeah, wow. See, it's one thing when we feel that our expectations are not met by man. But it's another thing when we feel like somehow God has let us down. And we expected something from God, and he didn't meet that we expected. I met a missionary couple and who felt that they were called to go as missionaries to Namibia in southwestern Africa. And the couple, they were excited about their ministry in Africa. And like missionaries do, like we did for almost 50 years, traveling from church to church, sharing their heart for the ministry and for the African people, and raising their monthly support. So going from church to church, town to town, all across the United States, and they itinerated for well over a year, and living out of a suitcase, and then and also traveling with a baby in arms, and then the last 9 months or so they were expecting again. So while they were waiting for their paperwork to be processed, and the baby was born in South Africa. So finally, the answer came from Namibia. Application denied. Work permit refused. Now, how do you handle that? In November 2017, there were dancing and rejoicing in the streets of Harare, the capital city of Zimbabwe. The National Army rolled in with their troops and their armored cars, and they overthrew the corrupt government of the 93-year-old president who had ruled in Zimbabwe as a dictator for 37 years. The people had high hopes. They were literally dancing in the street. And they were expecting positive change. However, 2 years down the road, even when we left in August, the people were crying. They were angry. They were disillusioned. Unmet expectations, as many of the people were praying for positive change. Now, let's look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist was believing like many others, that there was going to be a change. And he was looking for the Messiah. And he sent two of his disciples while he was in prison. He sent two disciples of his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the Messiah that we have been expecting, or should we be looking for someone else?" You see, it is believed that John the Baptist, like many of the others at that time, they were expecting the Messiah, and they kind of expected him to come and to release them from the Roman rule. Rome was controlling them with an iron fist, and they were expecting the Messiah to come and to lead them into independence so that they could be an independent Israeli nation. However, it didn't happen that way. Instead, Jesus came with a message of love. He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. He was giving sight to the blind. He was healing those that were lame, that were healed, that were walking. And yet, John asked this question. Are you really the Messiah? The one that we are expecting? Or should we look for someone else? You see, because doubt can come into the hearts of the most dedicated people. Unmet expectations often lead us to doubt. So that's when we begin to question, is God really in control? Or whether on a national level or on a personal level, is God really in control? If he is, then why didn't he do things the way I wanted him to do things? So it comes naturally. And I believe it's because we try to figure things out logically and with our natural mind. And we forget the power of God. We forget the promises of God. And we also forget that God's ways are not our ways. So the problem with doubt, if we allow this doubt to linger, it's going to then morph into disillusionment. Disillusionment. Now, that's a terrible state of mind. And it has to be avoided. Because just look at the term itself. When we become disillusioned, what it's saying is, I believed in a goal. I had a love for something. I had a passion for something. And I was working towards it. But I've come to realize it's only an illusion. It's not real. I was chasing something that was a ghost, not there. So they disillusion themselves. They separate themselves from it. So they give up the hope. Now, how many disillusioned Christians do you know who have had and faced unmet expectations? And where God did not answer the way that they thought that God was going to answer. And he didn't come through for them. And they had the attitude, God, I told you this is what you had to do. And I told you how to do it. Like, we can control God and tell God what to do? Is God our servant, or are we supposed to be his servants? So, and then when God doesn't come through for them, they get disillusioned. They get disillusioned because they felt like they were tricked or fooled, believing in something that wasn't real. So they give up on the dream and they give up on the hope that they had. Now, if the downward spiral is not stopped there, it's going to go into discouragement. And discouragement is the collapse of our courage. It's called discouragement. It's the collapse of our courage. It's the collapse of our faith. It's the collapse of our stamina. And if we don't nip discouragement in the bud, it leads to defeat. Now, Christians need to be aware of this, whether we're new believers or whether we've served the Lord for a long time. And the Bible has wise words for those who are discouraged. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. So then I ask you not to be discouraged. Discouragement will lead to defeat. So let's look at how John the Baptist handled his doubt. And he sent these two disciples. Notice he sent them straight to Jesus. He didn't go to some other leaders of some sort, but he went straight to Jesus and asked, are you the Messiah that we've been expecting? Now, how did Jesus respond to this question? You notice Jesus didn't answer yes. He didn't answer no. Here's what he said. He said unto them, go, show John again those things which you hear, and the things that you see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Did he answer the question? How can that answer the question that he was asked? You see, what he was doing is he knew that John the Baptist knew the word of God. So therefore, he answered with the word of God. Jesus was making reference to the prophecies in the Old Testament that applied to the Messiah that was coming. The prophecies that applied to him. So that's why he quoted from the word of God. And Jesus knew that John would know the word from Isaiah. And so Jesus was answering John very, very clearly. And it was straight from the word of God. Isaiah. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. And the eyes of the blind shall see. Then will the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shall shout for joy. So, Jesus answered John's doubt with the word of God. And Jesus will answer our doubt from the word of God. But of course, we need to know the word and avail ourselves to the word. You see, when we're plagued with doubt, we need to do exactly what John did. Go straight to Jesus with your doubts. Go straight to Jesus with your doubts and seek the answer from the Lord. Notice that Jesus did not respond to these two disciples that John had sent by saying, my goodness, I would never expect that from John the Baptist. Please, how dumb and blind can John be? I mean, after all, John heard the voice when I was baptized by him. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He heard the Father speak. And John himself called me the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. So why is John doubting now? See, Jesus didn't rebuke him. See, when we have doubts, we must go to Jesus with them. Jesus won't rebuke us either. And he'll speak to us from the word of God. But again, of course, we need to avail ourselves to the word so that the Lord can speak to our hearts. Now, a prime example of unmet expectations is seen in the life of Joseph. When Joseph was 17 years old, God spoke to him in dreams and told him that the day would be coming when he would be ruling over his family. And he shared this from the word of God, from what God spoke to him, he shared this with his family. And of course, his older brothers, they mocked him and they said, oh, please, you're a delusional dreamer. That's the pie in the sky. See, that's what that's supposed to be. So Joseph's brothers, they hated him. And they ended up then selling him as a slave into Egypt. Now, it was in Egypt. It was a very wealthy Egyptian guy bought him, and Joseph was doing very, very well. He was trusted, and he had responsibility over the household, and his boss didn't worry about anything until Joseph was framed by his boss's wife, and he ended up in jail. Now, this was the last thing that Joseph would have expected. Now, but God gave Joseph a gift, the gift of interpreting dreams. So the day came when two of the fellow inmates, they dreamed dreams, and Joseph heard from the Lord and said, I can interpret your dreams. And after the dreams came true, the one guy, he was happy that the dream came through, and the other one didn't, wasn't happy. But anyway, and he says, look, thank you. When I get out, I'm gonna pull some strings, and I'm going to see that you get out of jail. Okay, great. Hope rose in his heart. But this guy forgot about Joseph. It was 13 years after being sold into slavery and facing unmet expectation after unmet expectation that Joseph then was finally, he was this other guy, he remembered Joseph, and Joseph was called before Pharaoh, interpreted his dream, and Pharaoh then promoted Joseph from being a prisoner to what we call in Zimbabwe 2IC, second in command, the second most powerful man in the world at that point in time. And the family came before him, just like God's word said, and God's word was fulfilled as his brothers came and they knelt before him. See, God never said that things, if you give your life to Jesus Christ and to live the Christian life, he never said it was going to be easy. But he did say, I will be with you. Jesus did say, I will be there in the midst of your pain. Jesus promised to be with us in the midst of our heartaches. He promised to be with us in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of our unmet expectations and our doubts and our discouragement. He says, I will be with you and go through them with you. So how did Joseph deal with his unmet expectations? Repeatedly, through this account of Joseph, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. So Joseph obviously maintained his relationship with God, even with everything that he was going through. And with unmet expectation after another, he maintained his relationship with the Lord. And when he interpreted the dreams, he gave the glory to God. He didn't say, yeah, I can do that. No, he says, God help me. God's given me a gift. Okay? And not only that, but we see that Pharaoh said that in Joseph, the spirit of the God, of the Lord, there it is, the spirit of God is with him, is in him. So don't give in to doubt, but maintain our relationship with God. Too often when we're faced with an unmet expectation, what happens is we run away from God when it's a time that we need to run to God. Say, Lord, you know what I'm going through. And pour out your heart to the Lord. So let's look at King David. Now, obviously, he was not going through a very good time because he says, my tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? He says, I've been crying, Lord, before you day and night, heartache, while listening to people mock. Yeah, okay, where's your God now? Hey, if you're such a committed favorite of God, then why are you going through what you're going through? But what did David do? Let's consider what he did, how he handled this. The Bible says that he encouraged himself. He encouraged his own soul. He says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He spoke to himself. People say, you talk to yourself? Yes, I talked to myself. I even answered myself, okay? But I encourage myself in the Lord and remind myself of the fact that He is my Savior. He hasn't forsaken me. Fine, life has thrown me a curveball, but that doesn't mean that God's left me in the dust. That means that, hey, He's going through this situation with me, and I can trust Him. He is our hope. He is our truth. He is our Savior. He's still our God. Now, Thomas was not with the other disciples the first time that Jesus suddenly appeared in their midst. And when Thomas was told about Jesus appearing to them, he said, in essence, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. The pressure is getting to you, guys. See, now, I don't know what Thomas looked like, but I know that look. I've seen that look. Now, I'm going to continue in my doubt. You see, Jesus' death was obviously a huge unmet expectation for Thomas. Even though the Lord tried to prepare them by telling them, look, I'm going to be put to death and I'm going to rise again. It didn't compute. Okay? So, Thomas then, he said, no. Unless Jesus shows himself and proves it, that's the only way I'm going to believe it. Now, I love this. See, Jesus knew what Thomas was going through. Jesus knew all about Thomas's doubt. And he had already met with the other disciples. But he took the time, after 8 days, to walk through those walls again. He took the time to walk through the walls, and knowing that Thomas was going to be there, and then address Thomas and said, hey, look, see for yourself. He did that for Thomas. Now, that is love. Peggy, please come and quote the disciples talking to Thomas. Ambuya? No, we are. Pam Soto. Ambuya?
Sorry.
Pam Soto. Sorry, she understood.
Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the twins, was not with Jesus when Jesus appeared unto the disciples. But they went to him and said, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, and unless I put my finger in his nail prints and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, the disciples were again gathered behind locked doors. And this time Thomas was there, and Jesus stepped into their midst and said, peace be unto you. And then he said, Thomas, reach here your finger and put it into my hand. And take your hand and put it into my side. And be thou not unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. But blessed are all those that have never seen me, and yet they believe. And many other things Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are recorded that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing,
you
may have life through his name. Amen.
So, there's no need for any of us to remain in our doubt or disillusionment or discouragement. Jesus is no respecter of persons. See, what he did for John the Baptist, Joseph, King David, Thomas, Jesus will do for us if we will allow him to. We can pray. We can go around and get counsel. We can sing praises, and all of that's good. But there is a key, an absolute key, and that I appreciate is being emphasized by this church, this home fellowship. And that key to combat doubt, disillusionment, and discouragement is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Now, this is where the devil, our enemy, always attacks. Because you go through a discouraging time, you go through a time where you say, God, what are you doing? Why am I in the midst of this situation now? I don't understand. And what's our immediate thought? Oh, please. And you leave your Bible on the shelf. You stay away from the house of God, where you would otherwise hear the Word of God and hear the Lord speak to your heart. And you leave that behind, and like I said, you run from God instead of running to Him. And what's the result? The Christian gets weaker and weaker and weaker spiritually. I'm so grateful for Pastor Darren and his emphasis for us to know what the Word of God says. And this is a very, very rich teaching center. It really, really is. And we need to avail ourselves to it and digest and understand God's Word. Now, one more question. What is the ultimate unmet expectation? There are souls who go into eternity, okay, every day, and they were fully expecting to be welcomed into heaven. But they are faced with the ultimate unmet expectation. Not going to happen. I remember speaking at a funeral for a young man who was killed in a motorcycle accident. I knew this young man personally. He and his fiance were planning to get married, so they came to us for counseling. And I sat with the two of them, and I shared the gospel with them. But as far as I know, he had never taken that step and committed his life to Jesus Christ. So now at the funeral, as the emails were being read by the MC, and some eulogies were being read at his funeral, the majority of the messages went something like this. We will miss you, mate. We've had some wonderful, fantastic times together. Hey, it won't be long till we'll be with you up there in heaven. But meanwhile, keep the beers cold, because when we get there, we're going to party. Devil, you're a liar. You see, the Word of God brings out very, very clearly that heaven is prepared for people who have prepared themselves for heaven. And if people who haven't prepared themselves for heaven, then heaven's not prepared for them. So the question is then, number one, are you prepared for heaven? And if you're not, then you need to prepare yourself for heaven. You need to realize, number one, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. Sin separates between man and God. But we also need to realize, hey, that God showed his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that even though the wages of sin is death, he's handing a gift out to us. The gift of God is the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's giving us a gift. That means you can't buy it, because you don't buy a gift. Okay? You can't work for it, because that's a way of buying it. I love the African way of receiving a gift. They clap. And the louder the clap, the more appreciative they are. You know? They clap and they reach out with two hands and they take it. They take the gift. And that's what we need to do. realizing, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I need you. You died to forgive me of my sins. You shed your blood to wash my heart clean. And I'm reaching out with both hands and wholeheartedly to receive that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See. So today, if you're not sure that you're prepared for heaven, please, after the service, take time to speak to me or Peggy or Gary, Nate, Erica, whoever. But you need to make sure that you are prepared and that you will not meet that ultimate unmet expectation when you go into eternity. We want you to share with us in that ultimate expectation of eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ, both now and throughout eternity. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we want to thank you for your word. That no matter, Lord, what we're going through, we have that promise that you are with us. You're with us. You're dealing with our hearts. You're changing us from glory to glory, from the inside out. And Lord, that you have prepared that ultimate expectation of eternal life living in us now and for eternity with you. You said, I'll go and I'll prepare a place for you. And I want to come back and receive you unto myself. That through eternity, we're together in heaven. Lord, thank you for taking your word and ministering it to our hearts, whatever our point of need had been. But Lord, that you take your word and you use it for the extension of your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
That's so appropriate for many of the youth today because as my son is struggling with health issues and he's trying to figure out, you know, he doesn't know all of God's ways because, you know, he's a little bit rebellious in the way of really, like, digging in. And I know he prays and he's like, he keeps pleading and asking God to take the pain, but he doesn't take the pain. So he loses or he starts to become doubtful. And so I've been witnessing and just trying to share with him. But one thing from our women's Bible study that I had highlighted and I sent to him, like Erica said, it's on faithfulness, but Satan will stop at nothing to get us to lower our shield of faith so he can wound and burn us. He stacks up tangible evidence in opposition to God's assurances. He delights in doubts and lies. He studies our weaknesses and then aims where we're vulnerable. His priority job description is to keep us from believing God, first for the salvation and then for completion. And I just think that just really goes along with what you taught. And they just become, you know, disillusioned and discouraged and then start doubting. And that's my prayer, that my son would see God has a bigger plan through all of this, you know. And the pain is there for a reason, because if it goes away, I told him, then they're not going to find what's wrong. You can't, you know, because it was coming and going and nobody was doing anything. So it's constant because we need to find what's wrong. So it serves a purpose.
Couple of quick things that I didn't cover in announcements this morning. Well, first, Lester, thank you. That is a fantastic message and a very much needed message. As Natalie just mentioned, their son Cross, he's in the hospital in whatever the community is next to the base there. And gastrointestinal problems, they don't know what's going on. So please pray that the doctors would be wise beyond their tests and they would find out what's going on so they could deal with it. Other prayer updates. Marcia had her thyroid surgery this week. She came through fine, but she's still dealing with, you know, with the recovery. Keith had his hip replacement a week ago Thursday. Spoke with him this week. It seems to be going well, but he's still dealing with some pain, so kind of keep him in prayer. And that Alan, who got baptized here just not too long ago, his wife, she worships at a Greek Orthodox church, but she pulled some back muscles recently, and that. So her name is Karen, and that. And naturally, we want to be in prayer for Pastor Darren and his family. You know, I know Darren going into this trip, typical Darren. It's like, oh, I want to learn this. I want to see, you know, all of the things he can bring back to minister to all of us, and that. But I think the Lord maybe had a little bit more family time planned for him that he might not be prone to take otherwise, and that. So pray that that all of that would happen. That, you know, he would have stuff that he can bring back to us as our shepherd. But also that he'd get some family time as well. And that, yes, Anthony. I'm sorry? Oh, Ray, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. So I've spoken to Ray a number of times. His surgery went fine, and that they had to do, they had to do something with a blood vessel right near his heart. And that, but he came through fine. He's recovering. He's out and about. And I'm sorry? Vessel graft, okay. Chris is a better doctor than I am. Although I don't want him doing surgery, but we won't go there. Any case, so no, he's doing fine, and I will expect we'll probably see Ray somewhere in the next few weeks. Final thing is, if you look back, there are bushel baskets full of bread. Right? Now, here's a suggestion. Take it and give it to your neighbors in Jesus' name. Okay. Another final thing, and you're coming up here for the microphone?
Amanda's baby shower is this coming Saturday at 2, and we forgot to put an RSVP on the invitations, as you probably noticed. I know some of you did. So if you could let me know if you're planning on coming, that would be great. If you have my number, you can text me. If you don't, I'll just hang out until everybody's gone. Thank you. Usually people bring all their kids to baby showers. Okay. Moms are used to it. So bring it.
And you all join me in prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank you that our greatest expectation as believers will be met, Lord. Your gift to us, grace through Jesus' sacrifice, Lord, has restored us to you, Lord. And in times of doubt or discouragement, we can run and either jump in your lap or grab you around the ankles, Lord, and that you are there for us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. No one and no thing can pull us from your hand, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, I ask that you'd bless this body this week. Help us to go spread that grace among others so that others may come to know you, who you are, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen. One more thing.
There's always one more, right? One more. So I wanted to let you know my sister, whom you may have met because she came here a couple of times, but she is in the hospital. She had a stroke, and she's in Michigan in the hospital. So she called me and asked me if our body would be in prayer for her. So I'm asking if you would think of her when you start to pray in Jesus' name.
What's your name?
My sister's name is Carol. Carol Mead.
You want to pray for her right now?
Yes, Lord. She means the most to me, Lord. You know, as my brothers and sisters have begun passing away over the past year, I miss them as well. But my sister is my oldest sister, and she's so dear to me that I really will feel pretty unhappy if something happens to her. So I ask I want to pray for her, Lord, and that you will continue to help her in her recovery, Lord, and bring her back to Florida safely. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.
You all have a blessed week.